Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Common Fans. Welcome to the Common Fans Show. This is episode 2, season 5. Dude here with 8. B-Ray, parts unknown tonight. He may try to join us here before we get off the air, but we're not counting on him. So it's just going to be Dude Nate this week. I'm going to go over 8. I'm just going to start with some of the scores from last Saturday. Top 25, South Florida barely gets by Tulsa, 25-24. Alabama had no trouble with Missouri, 39-10. LSU, B-Ray's upset of the week, comes through LSU 36-16 over Georgia. Ohio State handles Minnesota 30-14. Notre Dame in a close one over Pittsburgh, 19-14. And then, Ed, I believe this was your upset of the week. Iowa State, 30-14 over number 6 West Virginia. It's going to bring us some, bring them on out here later in the show. Finally, overtime, Oregon 30-27 over Washington. Michigan State beats Penn State 21-17. Texas over Baylor 23-17. Memphis almost had Central Florida, gives up a touchdown in the fourth quarter, loses 31-30. Wisconsin loses to Michigan 38-13. Florida, in a dogfight with Vanderbilt, comes out on top 37-27. That's something we might want to talk about in a little while. Two head coaches getting into it right in the middle of the game. We just happened to be sitting in a restaurant and saw that happen. Miami over Virginia. Miami goes down to Virginia. I didn't realize that. Another upset right there. Miami beats Virginia. Miami loses to Virginia 16-13. USC over number 19, Colorado, 31-20. My upset of the week, Tennessee 30, Auburn 21. And then Texas A&M defeated South Carolina 26-23. And B-Ray's not here to defend his upset of the week. But Georgia, we listened to that game on the way to Little Rock Saturday 8. And Georgia, they never really got in that ball game at all.
Oh, no. LSU had them from the get-go. I mean, they went up, I forget what it was. It was something to 3. And then Georgia kind of put a little bit on the board, but LSU took right back over and went up and just never lost the lead.
So is LSU that good, or did Georgia just have a bad game? I mean, we didn't get to see any of it, but.
You know, I've seen LSU play a few times this season. I haven't really paid that much to Georgia, but – I think it was just one of those days when it was just LSU's day. Everything was going right for them. The ball was rolling their way. I think 2 times out of 3, Georgia probably wins that football game, but it wasn't in the cards for them on Saturday, and that's why you see LSU with the win.
Yeah, and that really jumbles up the SEC. I'm pretty sure Alabama was counting on LSU losing that game. That really, what that does is set LSU up and to control their own destiny in the West. LSU wins out, and they're in the championship game against the East champion later on in the year. Now, 8, your upset of the week, Iowa State hosting West Virginia, and Iowa State comes up big in that one and wins it outright by a score of 30-14. How was that ball game?
Well, I think it was just another one of those things, just like the LSU game. I had a feeling that Iowa State was going to just dominate. I don't know what it is about them, but it seems like every year they show up against the top 10 team. And this year it was West Virginia. And, I still don't think West Virginia is that great. I think Will Grier is a great quarterback. But West Virginia had a big win over Tennessee in the first game of the week. Or in the first game of the year, and everybody said, oh, well, Will Grier threw for 400 yards, you know, three touchdown passes or whatever it was. Maybe they're a good ball club. And then they finally got tested again against Iowa State, who's 3-3, but not a bad football team, and you see what happens.
Well, I'm looking at the stats from that ball game. Only 100-yard passing for Will Grier, 11 of 15, 100 yards, one touchdown, one interception. And I noticed in the rushing category, he was 10 carries for minus 33 yards. So he was not having any success running the football, which gave them total offense for the ball game, 152 yards. Iowa State had 250 yards through the air. Brock Purdy was 18 of 25, 250 yards, three touchdowns and an interception. And then on the ground, David Montgomery, 29 carries, 189 yards. Quarterback Brock Purdy had 11 carries for 39 yards, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce that guy's name, but he had five carries for 26 yards, 244 yards on the ground, 254 yards through the air. That's 498 yards to 158 yards on the ground in total offense for West Virginia. And there it is. It's just total offensive domination for the Iowa State. What are they, the Cyclones?
Cyclones, yep.
I believe that's right. My upset of the week was Tennessee going into the Plains to take on number 21 Auburn. And I never think Auburn's that good. And, you know, for the most part, they never really are. But I've just thought that Tennessee was going to have a chance to go in there and make a statement. They've kind of been on the verge of winning, trying to rebuild the program down there with Jeremy Pruitt. I just thought they would go in and play well. And I really, like I said, I thought maybe Auburn would show their true colors. Looking at some stats from that ball game, Tennessee's Jarrett Garantano looked like a world beater. We got to see a lot of that ball game before we left to go to Little Rock. 21 of 32, 328 yards and two touchdowns. And then it was kind of running back by committee. Ty Chandler, 16 carries, 50 yards. And Tim Jordan, 13 carries, 26 yards for Tennessee. On the Auburn side, they were Jarrett Stidham was 28 of 46 for 322 yards, two touchdowns, but he also had two interceptions. And then they were running back by committee. Anthony Schwartz, three carries, 44 yards. Jatarvis Whitlow, 12 carries, 42 yards. And Malik Miller, the top three rushers, six carries, 32 yards for Auburn. But I think they turned it over a lot, went for it on fourth down, didn't make it. It's just not their day. So,
you know, Stidham fumbled a lot, too. I think he had two fumbles,
yeah.
And one of them was a touchdown.
Yeah, two touchdowns and a couple of fumbles, and it doesn't make for a very good day for True. So what that does to the standings, go to the 2018 college football rankings after going into week eight. Alabama, of course, is number one. But with the Georgia loss, that moves Ohio State up into the number two slot, followed by Clemson at three, Notre Dame at four. LSU jumps from 16 to five. Michigan jumps up to six, Texas at seven, Georgia drops down to eight, and Oklahoma, after losing to Texas last week, drops down to nine. Only four undefeated teams left in the top, and they match coaches poll AP, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, all those teams undefeated, and right now I'm sure they're locked for the playoffs if they all win out. Then it gets a little squirrely. Once it gets a loss, it gets a little bit ambiguous. So we're in the coaches poll. LSU is five, just like the AP poll, but then Georgia just falls to six, and they move Michigan in at seven, Texas at eight, Central Florida at nine, and Oklahoma rounds out the top 10 in the coaches poll. See any headlines this week, eight, on the college football front that tickle your fancy?
Well, I'm not looking at headlines right now. I mean, I guess technically I am, but it's just NCAA football news. And the first one I see here is, has the East caught up with the West? And
in what?
In football, obviously. I don't know what they're thinking. I guess because Tennessee beat Auburn handily, that makes them caught up with the West. But the West is and will always be the better division in the conference. Just because you have so many powerhouses. I mean, you look at the top 25, and you see how many West teams there are, and there have been all season. And then, you know, you have your East teams that sometimes will beat a West team, but every time an East team beats a West team, it's considered an upset, you know, because Auburn was supposed to win that football game. I mean, but Georgia was supposed to beat LSU, and they got smacked around. And that's a West versus East.
Yeah.
I don't think that the East compares to the West, and I don't think that they will in anytime soon.
Well, you know, you look at the top 25 rankings, like go all the way through the top 25 AP poll, you'll see 7 teams from the SEC in the top 25, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Mississippi State. And I believe that 4 of those teams are in the West and 3 of them are in the East.
Now,
you don't hear in the East are what? Vanderbilt. You're not hearing much about Vanderbilt, not hearing much about Missouri, not hearing much about South Carolina. But over in the West, with the exception of Arkansas, I'm not sure everybody doesn't have a winning record. Let's look at this. I'm going to switch over and maybe look at the standings in the SEC. Let's see where they go. Let's see, standings in the SEC. Yeah, you look at the West, Alabama's 4-0, A&M's 3-1, LSU's 3-1. This is not right. I'm looking at the conference record. Alabama's 7-0, Aggies are 5-2, LSU's 6-1, Ole Miss is 5-2, Mississippi State's 4-2, and Auburn's 4-3. So what is that, 6 of the 7 teams in the West – are all have winning records and are on the verge of being bowl eligible. But in the East, once you get past the top 3 in the East, everybody's either at 500 or worse.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I think everybody in the West, except for, I know Arkansas hadn't been ranked this year, and I'm not entirely sure about Ole Miss. At the beginning of the season, they might have been. I don't really know. But I know everybody else aside from Arkansas and Ole Miss have been ranked at one point this season.
Yeah, I believe you're right. So we're looking, like I say, we were looking at the playoff now. If you go back to, if the playoffs were to start today, it would be Alabama playing Notre Dame, which would be a dogfight, and Ohio State and Clemson is how that would match up. Is anybody going to watch that?
You know, you said that Alabama-Notre Dame would be a dogfight, but I don't think Notre Dame is anything to write home about. I mean, yeah, they're 7-0, and they're undefeated. But in all honesty, yeah, they beat Michigan, and they beat Stanford. But, I mean, what's Stanford now? And they've lost 2 in a row now, and they lost to Utah last week. I think Notre Dame is not as good as everybody thinks. I think that Alabama will still dominate Notre Dame if that game were to happen. Ohio State and Clemson, on the other hand, that'd probably be a really good game. Similar offenses, both top dogs always have been, at least since the college football playoff is here. I'd watch that game, but at the end of the day, you're going to have an Alabama, Ohio State, or Clemson and Alabama championship game, and Alabama probably rolls over whoever that is. The only way that Alabama's not going to win the national championship is if they slip up and get beat in the SEC West. I think if they get beat one time, they're more likely to get beat again, but it's going to have to be out of SEC play.
Well, let's look at Notre Dame's schedule so far. They beat a number 14 Michigan team at home 24-17. Then they beat Ball at home 24-16. Then they beat Vanderbilt at home 22-17. None of those are what I call blowouts.
No,
and,
they haven't
with the exception of Michigan was the only ranked team they played to that point. And they beat up on Wake Forest pretty good, 56-27. And they've handled number 7 Stanford 38-17 and number 24 Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech 45-23. So they've actually played the better teams better than they've played the teams that they shouldn't have had any trouble with. Then, of course, they went on Saturday versus Pitt, but only 19-14. What they have left on their schedule, they will go – they will play Navy. I guess they're open this week. They'll play Navy a week from Saturday. Then they'll be at Northwestern. Then they'll host Florida State and host Syracuse and then at USC, which is amazing to me. If I'm looking at this right, 1, 2, 3, only had 4 road games all year, which means they played 8 games at home. So even if they wind up undefeated, they don't play a ranked team the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So conversely, let's go look at let's look at Alabama, what they've done so far. Let's see. They beat Louisville 51-14, Arkansas State 57-7, Ole Miss 62-7, A&M 45-23. Louisiana Lafayette 56-14, Arkansas 65-31, and Missouri 39-10. Missouri's the only team that's put up a fight so far, held them to 39 points. And all that Alabama has left, they're going to be at Tennessee this Saturday. That game's a 2:30 p.m. Central Time start on CBS. Then they will go at LSU. That will be the big test for Alabama if LSU can keep their head on straight. Then they'll face number 22 Mississippi State, and then, oh my gosh, they play the Citadel on November 17th, and that'll be their tune-up for the Iron Bowl against Auburn on the 24th, and then of course the SEC championship game against the East champion. Ohio State beat Oregon State 77-31, beat Rutgers 52-3. Beat TCU 40-28, Tulane 49-6, Penn State 27-26, number 9 Penn State at the time, Indiana 49-26, and Minnesota 30-14. They have 2 pretty good games left on their schedule. They're going to be at Purdue this weekend, then they'll face Nebraska, number 24 Michigan State, Maryland, and then close out the season against number 6 Michigan. That might be a good ball game. I'm not so sure the Nebraska game. Nebraska's one of those teams like Tennessee, that's looking to find their legs. I don't think they've won. I think they might have won last week, but it was their first win of the season. And then that just leaves Clemson.
Yeah, I have Clemson.
Okay, go ahead.
Clemson, they beat Furman 48-7 at home. They beat A&M at A&M 28-26. Georgia Southern, they beat them 38-7. Georgia Tech beat them 49-21. They beat Syracuse 27-23, and they beat Wake Forest by 60. They beat them 63-3. But what I'm looking at right now at Clemson is the only quality win they have, and it's debatable, is against Texas A&M, and they beat them by 2 points. You're telling me that deserves the number 3 spot in the nation?
Well, it's the only is there any undefeated teams left in D1 football besides those 4?
No, I mean, how is Notre Dame at 4 barely cracked? If Georgia wouldn't have won, they wouldn't be in the top 4. I mean, Georgia wouldn't have lost, they wouldn't be in the top 4. How
That's true.
Is Clemson's record more impressive than Notre Dame's? Notre Dame has 3 top 25 wins under their belt, and Clemson has 1 by 2 points.
Well, that's a good question. Well, I think the pollsters just need those 4 teams in the top 4. I think right now, if you could find the report, you'd probably find out that those 4 TV markets are the biggest in college football right now. I don't happen to think so. You know, and I'll tell you something. I was watching the Arkansas-Ole Miss game Saturday night in the rain in Little Rock with just as much excitement, just as much anticipation as any of those ball games that are potentially going to be out there for the playoff, because it meant something to me and my team, and it wasn't any one of those 4. So there's quite a bit of enjoyment out there for other football fans. I just don't I just still think that, you know, and I, you know how they do this, don't you? Is that they, like, if Ohio State had started the season, let's say at number 25 instead of number whatever they were, two. I think then they start at two or four.
Yeah,
maybe they started out at four or five. Okay, but if they started out at, let's say, 25 and played somebody close, then they're not even in the top five. But they put those teams up high early so they don't have as far to climb, so that if they do like they're supposed to do, which is win all their ball games, they're right there where they need to be. You know, if there were six undefeated teams and Ohio State started the season at 25, they're not in. But because they start them in the top 10, they just continue to move up. And, you know, the only time they screw that up is if maybe, you know, they throw it out there and Ohio State, none of the teams in front of them lose, which is hardly ever happens, you know.
You know what they should do is completely take out the preseason ranking and just not have a rank until the first college football playoff ranks come out.
You know, it's funny, though, but there's something about rankings that people feel the need to rank. I mean, for instance, take the NFL. The NFL rankings mean nothing in the NFL. You win your division. You know, but still, how many times have you ever seen somebody do their top 10 NFL teams or the top 25 power rankings in the NFL? There's something that is unhealthy about the sports world that thrives on the ranking. So even if they didn't – nobody put an official ranking out, somebody put one out. And then it gives – I guess they do it so it gives you something to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise, what would you talk about?
And, you know, honestly, it's just an AP poll and a coaches poll. And the real ranking is the college football playoff poll. And that doesn't happen till this week. And the first one comes out, tomorrow, I believe? And
I think so. That's right.
So technically – I mean, they are not ranking anybody till now, but because of what you said, they feel a need to rank. The AP poll and the coaches poll have been up all season.
So you think the first playoff poll that comes out tomorrow, is that going to reflect the top four undefeated teams in the country, or are they going to put something in there that's totally ridiculous so that people will talk about it? Because I don't think anybody's going to talk about it. I mean, what's there to talk about? I mean, we're talking about it, but we're not talking about it because we're actually interested in it. We're talking about it because it's the same four teams it always is. And what's the big deal?
I mean, you're right. And there's honestly no way unless they were to come in and put UTF, who has the longest active win streak in FBS, by the way, if they were to put them in the top four, then there'd be something to talk about. But then – they'd probably just be doing that for the publicity, I guess, because does UCF really deserve to be up there, even though they're what are they, last two seasons combined, they're 19-0 right now? I think they're 19-0. And
I don't remember, are they even in the top 25?
Yeah, they're number 10. UCF is number 10. And
that's
and
right,
coaches
they are. And they're undefeated.
They're undefeated.
I didn't realize that. Well, you know what? And to be fair, now that I look back at the rankings, Central Florida's undefeated. North Carolina State is undefeated. Nobody's talking about North Carolina State. Let's see what they've done this year.
You know what?
North Carolina State
has a big game this week.
They're at
Clemson. And what if North Carolina goes to Clemson and beats them? What happens then? Does North Carolina State hop in the top four?
I think they would have to, wouldn't they? Because wouldn't that legitimize their undefeated record? You know, Cincinnati's undefeated, South Florida's undefeated. North Carolina State's up four spots from last week. I mean, I think they jumped that far. LSU did. LSU went from 16 to 5, and they got a loss. So yeah, I think if they go into it's at Clemson, that will be a tough ball game.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Well, Syracuse almost did it.
Yes, they did. Well,
I'm not sure if that was at Clemson or not, but no, yeah, it was at home. I mean, Syracuse had them on the ropes, And they barely squeaked out a win. So I think it's very possible that NC State goes in and gives them at least a run for their money.
All right. So now it's time for – let me look at the last week's poll. Last week's poll, top 10 last week's poll, Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4, Notre Dame 5, West Virginia 6, Washington 7, Penn State 8, Texas 9, Central Florida's 10. Who should bring them on out? Now, for those of you that have never listened to this show before, every week when somebody gets, you know, they take those teams like Georgia and Penn State and West Virginia and LSU and Michigan, all those guys, and they keep them up there as high as they can so that as long as they're winning, they got a chance to go to the playoff. Well, when they lose, you got to bring them on out. They got to come out. So we do a little segment called Bring Them On Out. So, eight, what you bring them on out this week?
My bring them on out is Penn State. They were up there all season, preseason rankings way up there, top five, top six, top four. Now they have two losses. And there's no way they make it into the college football playoff. You have to stop acting like they're a top five team in the nation because they're not. You can bring them on out.
I'm going to say with their loss Saturday that they have pretty well knocked themselves out of a chance at the playoff because even if they come back and play Alabama in the championship game and win it, I don't think Georgia advances to the playoff. So with their heart, I mean, it wasn't a close ball game that they lost to LSU.
No.
I mean, they lost big. They lost big. So I think to Georgia fans all across the nation and David Perkins, my buddy from Florida, who I'm going to see tomorrow, staunch Georgia fan, but you got to bring them on out. Because they don't belong. They don't belong anymore. So that's our Bring Them On Out segment for this week. I don't know who B-Ray would have taken, but he should have been here. So let's just kind of slide over upsets of the week. I'm not even sure. I don't even know if I've looked at it this week. I need to take a gander. You were talking before we went on the air about who you thought you might pick,
you know,
for upset of the week.
I was thinking about picking Purdue over Ohio State. I was because Purdue hadn't lost. They hadn't gotten killed all season.
14-point home dog.
Yeah, 14-point home underdog. But now I'm kind of sitting here looking at the Michigan State Michigan game. The game is
I saw that.
Do what?
I saw that when I just pulled the page up. Michigan State.
Michigan's
a 7-point favorite.
Yep. And I think I'm going to go ahead and take Michigan State over the Wolverines at Michigan State this week.
That is a 7-point home dog, the number 24 Michigan State, over the Wolverines of Michigan. And let's see. Okay, so there's some actually some good picks on here. I am going to take number 16 North Carolina State, a 17-point road dog, over the Clemson Tigers to come in and absolutely set the college football world on its ear by screwing up everybody's plans. North Carolina State, 17-point road dog at Clemson for the victory, for the movement into the poll, for the movement into the playoff to totally screw it all. Now, here's what will irritate me next week. Let's say all this comes to pass. North Carolina State wins, and when you come back next week, they'll have LSU in the top four.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, they might move North Carolina State up to like 7, but that's as high as they're getting with that one. I promise you that. I think it's a good pick, though. I'd love to see it.
Well, not a lot of controversy going on in college football this week, and with B-Ray out, I think we're going to probably break it off right here. It's been a pretty good show. It's been a pleasure being on with you, 8. Ace going to be hosting the show before the year's out, so we're trying to get him ready for his.
That's the goal. We'll see how it works out.
That's the goal. That's the goal. And what we'd like to try to do maybe is see if we can't get some people to call in. You know,
yeah,
that might be kind of fun. Maybe get some of your compositions.